Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Natto. Saturdays at the Spa is brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, New York's premier wagering site. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The new Capital Mobile app. Wager anywhere, anytime. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Good morning and welcome to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you on Travers Day, August 8th, Travers Day. A little world we live in feel today. It's early, obviously, and Anthony and Marmito and I were just on the Handicappers Report talking about it. It's just a different feel, but Travers Day is here. It's a phenomenal 12-race card. Certainly the Midsummer Derby at 6:15 in the p.m. is the highlight, but we've got Grade 1 races, a phenomenal test shaping up with Gamine and Venetian Harbor, and I was fortunate enough. We're going to play. We got Bob Baffert yesterday on a Zoom video. He was phenomenal. We're going to air that a little bit later. And in the middle, Richard Baltus, who trains Venetian Harbor, we're going to talk to him as well. And he gave some good insight on, Anthony and I talked about it on Handicappers Report. What could be just a phenomenal showdown between two, a potentially great three-year-old filly in Gamine and a very, very good one in Venetian Harbor. But obviously front and center today is the Travers, like I mentioned, the Midsummer Derby a little earlier on the calendar this year, but the stars are here. It's a prep for the Kentucky Derby. That's very, very weird, but again, in this pandemic-esque year, that's what we get to after the Travers. But I'm super happy to be joined, my first guest of the day, and it's Tis the Law Day here. It's been Tis the Law year almost here in New York and in Saratoga. And my first guest on Saturdays at the Spa, I bring in Jack Knowlton, the managing partner of Saratoga Stable. Jack, thanks so much for being here. Happy Travers Day to you. Tis the Law, front and center on a day I'm sure you've been looking forward to. Maybe for 17 years, because as many parallels as there's been with Funny Side in 2003, in Tis the Law in 2020, this is actually not a feeling you had in 2003, unfortunately.
No, that's true. And as you say, unfortunately, Funny Side came down sick 3 or 4 days before Travers, and then we missed it. And, I say to everybody, the biggest disappointment, obviously, was not winning the Belmont with him and winning the Triple Crown, but pretty close behind it was not being able to run into Travers.
Yeah, and I know we're going to get to all the Tis the Law's races, but just as a whole, I know this has long been a very important race for you guys. You were not able, as you mentioned, not able to run in it with Funny Side, who came up a little sick. Was it Wednesday, I believe,
yes,
of race week after the Haskell? So, the Kentucky Derby is the race you want to win. You're supposed to want to win, but the Travers is obviously a huge race too. You won the Belmont. Was there any ever discussion saying maybe we shouldn't run in here, or was horses okay, we're running?
Never a thought.
Okay.
And for us, looking at accomplishments that Tiz has already, he won the Champagne, which I think is arguably, the best two-year-old race in the country other than maybe the, Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Then in addition to that, then we go and win the Belmont, first New York bred in 138 years. Reading about the Travers, I think some of the people will remember Thunder Rumble back in the 80s, and I read this morning that the only other New York bred winner was a filly named Ruthless back in the 1800s. So, again, if we can check the box here with the Travers, I think the legacy of our stable and the two horses that are competing like this will be just enhanced tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, I think I heard you the other day. You've only bought one non-New York bred horse. Is that true?
That's right, and that was a long time
ago. Okay. So the fact that I don't know if it's tough to even put into perspective the fact that 17 years apart, but the fact that you're on the precipice. You almost won a Triple Crown with Funny Side and a New York bred, and now you've got Tis the Law. Obviously, another New York bred. $75,000, I believe, you paid for Funnyside, and $110,000 for Tis the Law. Just, I know you're clearly a big supporter of the New York bred program. To bring two horses to the peak of the sport, far apart, and with you know, you're not at the sales buying $800,000 horses. Just talk a little bit about that. The fact that you're here. Again.
Yeah, I mean, the old adage, lightning striking twice, I mean, it really is incredible. But, you know, the credit goes to Barkley Tagg. Sure. I mean, Barkley, in addition to being our trainer, the guy who's got 50 years of experience, he's our bloodstock advisor. And, you know, Robin Smullen, his assistant, is a partner in going to the sales and checking the horses. I mean, we, you know, go through the catalogs together, but when it comes to picking the horses, Barkley and Robin have a tremendous eye, and you know, fortunately, we've got two horses now that each have won 3 Grade 1 races, have won now, you know, our own Sacatoga and Barkley Tagg Triple Crown.
Right.
Took us 17 years
hey,
for two horses
still
to
counts.
Do it, but you know, there aren't a lot of people that have done that. I mean, I understand that, you know, in contemporary trainers, it's Bob Baffert, it's Nick Zito, and it's Wayne Lucas.
Sure.
So that's pretty strong company.
Pretty heady company.
It is. So, you know, we're proud of that. And but that's where the credit goes. And, of course, Barkley, you know, keeping these horses sharp. In the case of Funnyside, he was able to do it. And now in a much more difficult time, I think, you know, really this horse started here last summer, a year ago today, ironically. And he has not been out of training. And every race, I think, he has just improved. And we're really looking forward to the mile and a quarter today. Barkley, you know, Barkley wanted Belmont to be a mile and a half.
Right.
He didn't
want
to come back.
That, yeah.
So, you know, for a mile and a quarter, he thinks, you know, it's going to be, you know, an easy transition going from a mile and an eighth to a mile and a quarter for Tiz. He shows it in his workouts. I think he showed it in his races. So we're excited to see that today. And as you said, it is pretty strange, you know, the Travers, $1 million Grade 1 race, being a prep for the Kentucky Derby. But, you know, in reality, it is. And Joe Drayton, the New York Times, wrote an interesting article and, you know, said that, you know, we're getting to, you know, play in this race. I mean, as you said, the Derby is the race everybody wants to win, obviously. And we get a chance to go a mile and a quarter, like, you know, horses typically never do before getting to Kentucky.
Right.
So, you know, we're excited. You know, he's a hometown hero in a sense. We call him the New York Thoroughbred Hero after winning the Belmont, and he's got an awful lot of fans around here. I just feel, you know, really bad we're not going to have 50,000 plus people here. But the fact that we're running the race and the fact that we're going to have some of our owners here, that is all good.
Yeah, I was going to ask that at the end, but since you brought it up, I know unfortunately you were not able to attend the Belmont. I mean, that just was the case at the time, and you have a large group, I know that, and Seth was with you guys at Pinnell's, I believe, so
right.
You were fortunate enough to be a part of that, and I think you said they're going to be over at Embassy Suites today, but you are allowed 12 owners at the race today, correct?
That's correct.
So I would think there are a lot more requests than that.
Well, we're actually going to have, I think, 22 of the 35 partners in town.
Okay, good.
So we'll, you know, be at Embassy, we'll have lunch over there, we'll bet the races, and then part of the group will come over here and be able to see the race, and then we'll be going back to the Embassy Suites and hopefully celebrate a victory.
Here's hoping. Before we get, we're going to show every race eventually, and we're going to kind of talk over it, and just to kind of see the progression that from Tis the Law, you mentioned 1 year ago today it all started, but a friend of mine and really great columnist, Mike McAdam, for the Gazette, wrote a good piece the other day between you and Barkley, and I thought it was just, I said to Mac, I said, really nice job, and some of your quotes, and just the respect you have for Barkley as a horseman. You mentioned the 50 years. You know, Barkley Tagg's not a guy that you know, trains for high-profile outfits, doesn't buy expensive horses, but no leaves no stone unturned, and I know you spoke very highly of him and the job he's done, and almost that he's the perfect guy for a horse like this.
No, absolutely. I mean, one of the real advantages of being in a relatively small stable, Barkley has around 25 horses, is every horse, not just Tez, I mean, they get his individual attention, and Robin is the assistant trainer on, you know, his better horses. She's on him every morning, and that's a real advantage. Barclay and Robin, 51 weeks a year, there's only about horses. They take one vacation around right. Christmas time, get away, but that's it. And other than that, they're totally dedicated, and as I've said, you know, it isn't often that Barclay gets a big horse, but when he does, and fortunately we've had two of them, he certainly knows what to do with them. I mean, he can train with anybody, and I think he's proven that with Funnyside and Tis the Law.
Yeah, he's done a phenomenal job, you know, in especially in this year of just the crazy world we're living in, getting Tis the Law to you know, peak in the Belmont and then hopefully peak today and hopefully peak in 4 weeks. But as you mentioned, it all started 1 year ago today. We're going to bring up footage of his career debut. And it's kind of impossible to even think he wasn't even favored that day. You got about $9 and change. Here he is here. And I'll never forget this. I'm sure you won't either. But I went right into my stable mail and said, after this race, basically, wow, let the funny side comparisons begin. And here he is down on the inside. What were the expectations, Jack, leading him over there in his debut against New York Breds? First start ever, maybe not knowing what you had, or maybe you did know what you had. What did you think that day?
Well, you know, we had some confidence, but, you know, the first start in a maiden race, you never know. He'd been training very well, and what impressed me more than anything else is the way he galloped out after he finished his breeze.
Right.
I mean, he'd go around the second turn, and, you know, Junior Alvarado was, you know, doing the breezes at that point and rode him in this race, and I said, wow. I said, you know, this horse looks like he really is something. And, you know, I know that Mike Rapoli had the favorite in there, and they were really, really high on theirs. So, you know, he's a little green there, and once Junior got him straightened out, I mean, it was lights out. And I mean, we're saying, wow, this is a pretty nice horse.
Yeah, and a canter here as well.
Late. Oh, yeah.
I mean, basically,
wrapped
this
up.
Is a public workout here, and, and, you know, you don't see that kind of effort first out that often, and, you know, the New York bred as well, so maybe that caught people off guard. And then you go to the Champagne, and Green Light Go was kind of the big horse there that day, and I was at Keeneland that day, and we're going to bring up the Champagne as well, the one turn mile, the grade one. I was at Keeneland that day with a friend, Wayne, who's is a you know, a seasoned player, and we watched this race in the second floor grandstand, and I remember looking at him, and we threw some four-letter words after this race, like, what was that? I mean, this was phenomenal, I thought.
Yeah, he ran into some trouble. You know, the race that really got him in here was his maiden race, and he had a 90 buyer, which was the highest two-year-old buyer. Barclay and I had a lot of discussions about, do we go the funny side route? Because he had a shin, and we couldn't go in hopeful. But we went back and forth for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, do we jump in the deep end of the pool and go in the Champagne or not. And finally, he was training so well, and I said, you know, Barclay, his number winning that maiden race is as good as anybody's got. Let's go for it. And fortunately, we did. And Junior Alvarado had already committed to ride Green Light Go, so we had to reach out and get another jock. And
that's the Wally Pipp angle, right?
Yeah. And, you know, as a result, Manny got the ride. And that was because Barclay, you know, liked him as a young jockey and thinks the world of his agent, Angel Caldero.
Of course. And now tipping
so here
out
we go
here
again.
And just powerful, basically announcing his presence on the national scene.
Yeah. Once that happened, you know, Funny Side was under the radar.
So yes.
He goes in, he beat New York Reds. He didn't win any of his prep races as a three-year-old. But again, you look at the end of the race, I mean, he's not asking anything. He's just along for the ride.
Right. And at the time, especially, Green Light Go for Jimmy Jerkins and Frank Stronach was a very highly regarded and talented two-year-old. Ran up here, won the Saratoga Special, I believe.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
Right. So that was a huge performance. Went to the Kentucky Jockey Club. We'll show it from start to finish. Things didn't work out. It was the one blemish on the record. But before we even talk about the race in and of itself, little trouble here too, as you'll see. Yep. It but was was it on your mind, A, to get two turns, but B, to get a run over the Churchill Downs track?
Yeah, I mean, as we did with Funny Side, we declined the opportunity to ship across country and go to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Stuck with our plan on that. And unfortunately, this was a day that, he didn't break as sharply as he has recently. And he got stuck down inside, and he never got out, really. The Kentucky jockeys made sure that he wasn't going to get an easy trip, and he wasn't going to come in as a hyped horse, 3-5, I think he was, and, take the money. So they just kept him penned in down there, and he was just frustrated. Ramon Dominguez kind of critiqued the race for us afterwards and said, he expended a lot of energy. I mean, they went in 50 and change, I think, and, he's used to going in, 46 and change or 47 and change, and he's just there, and he's got nowhere to go. Finally, we'll see shortly, a little seam opened up very, very late, and we're asking a lot for a horse that only had two starts to be able to fight his way through, and he still came up only 3/4 of a length short. So, I mean, look at him. He's there. Right now, he finally gets a shot, but then you've got the horses on the outside that have got the momentum, and, he just couldn't quite make it. But, a game effort, certainly, but he just didn't get it done that day. But, I told everybody, I think he ended up with an 81 buyer that yep. day. I said, just draw a line through that.
Right.
And Manny told us, he said, it wasn't the track that got him beat, it was a trap.
Okay.
And still only 3/4 of a length with all that trouble.
Yeah, and before we go to our first break, you asked him to do a lot that he shipped, two turns, a sloppy track, leaving that race, which I would think you knew was the end of your year, and then going the end of your two-year-old season, going to your three-year-old season. What, was the world your oyster, or what? What had you mapped out before we get into the three-year-old season?
We had a plan to do a Holy Bowl and Florida Derby, and hopefully be in Kentucky the first Saturday in May.
Okay. Well, obviously, we know that didn't happen, but the other boxes were checked. So we've gone through the three races of Tis the Law as a two-year-old. It's going to bring us to our first break on Saturdays at the Spa. When we come back, Jack Knowlton's going to stick around. We're going to talk about the three-year-old season of Tis the Law in today's Travers as well. Stay tuned.
No track, no problem. There's no better place to follow the Saratoga race meet than Capital OTB and OTB TV. With our live TV shows from the Saratoga backstretch and our live remotes, all the information you need is right here. Each and every day of the Saratoga meet, we talk with all the top trainers, jockeys, handicappers, and racing personalities. So stay with Capital OTB and OTB TV this racing season and win more.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Bob. These two are travels head-to-head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn.
Welcome back to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Netto with you. Travers Day here at Saratoga, and happy to be joined by Jack Knowlton, who stuck around, managing partner of Saratoga Stable, and Tis the Law, front and center in the Travers today as he looks to add. It's the fourth leg of the Triple Crown, really. I mean, the Midsummer Derby, I think probably, if you talk to a lot of people, the Travers would be maybe right up there with the second to the Kentucky Derby, and Tis the Law trying to do what Funny Side wasn't able to even have a chance at doing back in 2003, and that's win the Travers for these very connections. And Jack, before we went to break, we kind of mapped out the two-year-old season and showed the three races that Tis the Law was in. And before we get to the Holy Bull in a second to kick off the three-year-old campaign, I guess the first question that comes to mind was, what kind of transformation, or did you see any transformation from two to three as horses start growing into their bodies? And, you know, you often hear about these horses growing up overnight. Before the Holy Bull, was there a transformation of Tis the Law?
I'm not sure. I mean, he certainly showed a lot of ability in his three races, even though he didn't win the race at Churchill.
Right.
But he trained fantastically at Palm Meadows Training Center, where Barkley is, over the winter time. Yeah, I was there, watched some breezes, and we just felt very strongly that he was going to progress as a three-year-old. We literally said, you know, you draw a line through that race in Kentucky,
sure,
because that wasn't the real Tiz, and we certainly hoped that we were going to see him come out and perform as he had done in the Champaign and in his maiden race.
And we'll bring it up now, the Holy Bull to kick off things, Gulfstream Park in February, two turns, a mile and a 16th, and you start the season there. It's a good starting. I mean, you know, you never know what you're going to have at three after a big season at two. I felt, Jack, you know, just from a visual standpoint, I saw a much more polished individual this race.
Yeah. Well, this is a race where we learned an awful lot about this horse. He broke sharply, as he has his other races. And Manny, you know, started to get him stuck down inside, and, you know, we had a discussion.
Not again.
We had a discussion before the race, you know, let's not have that happen. So you watch this move that he makes. I mean, most horses, particularly young horses, you can't stop them and then get them started again and take them to the outside. From a numbers standpoint, this actually was his best race. You might notice that somehow the silks got left behind.
I noticed that. I was trying
found. To... this is one of those crazy things that can happen in horse racing. But it was a tremendous performance. Took him out. He got him off the rail and stalked. And got a pretty nice horse that was running in front of him, Elite Indian, who came back and just blew everybody away in the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, and I think it was kind of subtle there earlier in the race, as you alluded to, but the fact that Manny had to pull him back and he kind of had to stop and start again, and he did it really in a matter of a couple strides.
Yes.
I mean, the athleticism of a horse like this, that's something that can be very, very important in the Kentucky Derby, too.
Absolutely.
And you see him, as Jack mentioned, too, Ete Indian came back and just, you know, blew the field away in the Fountain of Youth. So it wasn't like Tis the Law was running by, you know, not much there. Not the case at all. So that was, you had to be over the top to start your season like
that.
Oh,
we were. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, his number came back very good. And that was a big move for him.
Florida Derby was up next. We'll bring it up now. A mile and an eighth. I mean, at that time of year, it's an unknown for horses, as the Derby would have been.
It breaks so sharp.
Yeah, with the right silks this time.
Yes, that's right.
A mile and an eighth, a quick run into the first turn. But again, this is the kind of horse, as you mentioned, the quick break that can put himself right into the race.
Yeah, it gives Manny a lot of options. And, you know, that's, you know, another thing, you know, looking forward to the mile and a quarter races, you know, you need to break sharply, and, you know, then, you know, the jock has a lot of opportunity. This is a trip we know that he likes, and this is a trip that hopefully we'll be able to get today in the Travers.
And here's, actually, Shivery is in the inside here, and he's going to end up finishing second, and he's back for more today. You and I talked off the air that I would think, and we will get to the Travers in a second, don't worry, I promise, but, you know, he's going to be the speed again here, and he's a horse you're quite familiar with.
Well, he ran a game race. I mean, it was Shivery and Ete Indian that were, you know, battling out front, and, you know, you had to believe, since Shivery really was a sprinter before this race, and an accomplished one, you know, that Ete Indian would put him away and it would be all over. But lo and behold, Shivery came back and ended up second in this race. But again, you know, that outside stalking trip, and when we turn the corner, we're going to see that Manny is just going to let him loose, and he's going to win, again, pretty easily, which is what he's done all three of these two-turn races.
So I'm trying to think.
Manny's looking around for competition, and nobody home.
This was March 26th, so at this point in time, they had not pulled the plug on the Kentucky Derby, I don't believe. So
no, I mean, we didn't know for weeks, and that was one of the things that made Barkley's job so difficult.
Right.
You know, we didn't know when the Derby was going to be, although shortly thereafter they said they were going to move it to September.
Right.
But what we didn't know is the Preakness or the Belmont.
Right.
So, you know, they could have run, you know, that in May. So, you know, we couldn't really back off them too much. It could have been June, and then ultimately it ended up, it was a Belmont in June, and a long gap.
Well, we'll show it in a second, but before we do, I want you to talk about that long gap. What did you and Barkley kind of talk and just say, let's just simmer over here and keep this horse in? What was the plan?
No, the plan was, you know, for him to be in a position when they announced, and you would certainly hope that you're going to have 3 or 4 weeks to,
right.
You know, it's one of the races in a Triple Crown. So Barkley really couldn't back off. I mean, he wasn't training him hard, but, you know, he was continuing to breeze. He wasn't, you know, doing his fastest breezes, but you had to keep the horse sharp. And fortunately, you know, other than, you know, throwing a shoe after the Holy Bull and being have a sore foot, that's been the only chink in his armor. So, but Barkley kept him, very sharp, and I think, as we'll see in the Belmont.
Yeah, we'll bring it up now.
He was ready.
One turn Belmont, 9 furlongs, 1 1/8 miles, not the traditional 1.5 miles test of the champion. You kind of talked to Barkley, the old school guy that he is, wanted the 1.5 miles, and who can blame him? But here he is with the White Blaze again, putting himself in the right spot. And Jack, we watched 5 races leading up to this, and 4 of the 5 were just devastating performances. For my money, this was better than all of them on the biggest day.
Well, we know that it's always a challenge, you know, assuming it's a 20-horse field. If not, it's going to be close to a 20-horse field. And you need racing luck. I mean, we had that with Funny Savvy. Drew a great post. He got out quickly. Jose gave him a wonderful ride. But this horse, and we're going to learn more today. It's another 1/8 of a mile to go. But, you know, both Barkley and I feel very strongly that he will thrive in the classic distance.
And you're watching it here, and there's just a theme to this horse that, you know, the great ones, they make their own racing luck, and this is the 3 wide stalk. Well, sure, it looks like he's getting all the best of it, but he's getting all the best of it because he can, because that's a spot he can put himself in, and believe me, everybody else wishes they could do that. They can't, and this horse, he doesn't need to make his own trip. He's just there, and look, here's that must have gave you a good feeling there when Manny looked behind himself.
Yep.
I don't know if we're going to see it or not, but I thought it was, I read this after the race, and then Mike in the Gazette hinted at it too, that Barkley had a little message for Manny after this race. Talk a little bit about that.
Don't make the horse do more than you have to.
Manny was quite happy to get his first Triple Crown win.
Jump up and down on the horse.
These are 1,200-pound animals going about 40 miles an hour at certain points in the races. And Manny was very, rightfully so, very excited. By the way, 1:46.2 at 1 1/8 miles at Belmont is racehorse time, that's for sure. So here we are, a year ago to the day. The Travers today, August 8th, 1 1/4 miles. We've talked about it a little bit. First of all, how has he come from the Belmont to this race?
Yeah, tremendously. I mean, if you looked at any of his breezes here, all three of them have been just superb. We got a new racetrack here, so you can't say, well, you know, the track that he went on last year is the same track this year. But he's thrived here. His gallops in the morning are all good, and the 3 breezes, I mean, they're effortless. I mean, the exercise rider, Heather Smullen, she just sits on him, still as can be, and he just runs.
Robin's niece, correct?
Yes, correct. Knocks off the 59 and change or a minute and change without any urging whatsoever.
Right.
The only thing with him, he sees another horse out there, and sometimes he wants to be competitive with him. He wants to beat him.
Yeah.
He's got that competitive spirit in him.
You've looked at this race, I'm sure. Uncle Chuck comes in from California for, you know, the next great horse of the week for Bob Baffert. Caracaro ran well in the Peter Pan. Chad's got Country Grammar as well. They just keep throwing them at you, and you keep swatting them away. How do you look at this race today? We mentioned, if I didn't mention, I apologize, First Line is going to come out today for Orlando Noda. And, you know, we both kind of, we talked off the air. We didn't really think he was a win candidate, but he looked like he brought some speed to the table. I'm sure you've handicapped this race. How do you, again, see it playing out on paper, at least?
Well, you know, on paper, I think you're going to have the speed horse Chivalry, unless they totally change, you know, what they've been doing. And I think, you know, it sounds like, you know, Country Grammar is probably going to be somewhere close, and maybe Caracora. We're just not sure. I mean, the scratch, you know, I have kind of mixed feelings
about
it, because I thought he might add to the pace.
Of course, yeah.
But no matter what the pace is, you know, Tiz can be where he wants to be. And Manny's got the luxury. I mean, unless they went crazy fast in 45 or something, I think you're going to see him being, you know, couple lengths off, three lengths off, he's not going to be far out of it.
Right.
And Uncle Chuck, you know, Baffert horses typically are, you know, speed horses.
Involved.
So you would think that he's going to be up there, you know, Chivalry maybe as the race unfolds, Chivalry on the front, Uncle Chuck probably second, and we'll be hopefully sitting outside, you know, getting the same kind of trip we
Perfect,
got in the Florida
yeah.
Derby and, you know, in the Belmont.
Outside attack post. 17 years later, as I mentioned, is it any different? Is it any better? You're kind of an old season hand at this now, if there is such a thing. How does it feel the second time around?
Well, it's great. You know, and you know, to have this horse in this town and in this pandemic, you know, just an awful lot of buzz about him.
I think
people feel good that, you know, here's a hometown story that, you know, hopefully we can continue the momentum. And, you know, he's been the Derby favorite and, you know, the last few futures bets Churchill has. So there's a lot of high expectation. And, you know, I know that I feel personally, even though I have nothing to do with it, really some pressure because he isn't even money favorite in a Travers.
Yeah.
I mean, race I've been coming to for over 40 years without missing one. And here I am, you know, the managing partner of the group that, you know, has an even money horse in a Travers, which is pretty unbelievable. I mean, I would hope
saying it out loud, it's pretty
someday to have a horse in the Travers, but you know, to have the horse in the Travers, that's pretty special.
Yeah, and in up to this point, he's done nothing to disappoint anyone. As Jack mentioned, Tis the Law, the morning line favorite in the Travers. Just before I let you go, and we're really appreciative of the time. You know, it is with this year of 2020. There is a little fine line of you want to win the Travers. There's no doubt about it. But the Derby is, you know, the Derby, and you've already won one leg of the Triple Crown. You know, Barkley is a master horseman. Is there a balance there to say, listen, we want to win today, but the Derby is next?
There's no taking our foot off the gas.
All right.
I mean, well,
we couldn't.
You know, we're in it to win it, as
the
they say.
The screws are tight today.
Yeah. No, I mean, Barkley's got him ready to go. I mean, he's done everything, as Barkley will say, perfectly.
Yep.
He's done everything we've asked him to do. I think he's sitting on a huge race. I think a mile and a quarter is going to bring out the best in him. And, you know, it's an opportunity to have a prep race for the Kentucky Derby, the biggest race in the world. So we're going to take that. Hopefully we can take home the hardware from the Travers and enjoy the next 4 weeks as the favorite in the Kentucky Derby.
Keep on keeping on. We hope that's the case for sure. Jack, I couldn't thank you enough for stopping by, giving us extra time here. Jack was so excited he showed up yesterday to do this, right?
That's right. I can't keep track of all of these appointments I've got.
He's a busy, busy man. And, again, you'll be at the embassy today for
a bit.
Seth will be over
there.
Yes. So if you want to check it out over there, good buddy Stuart over at the embassy will help you out. Jack and the partners will be over there. And then at 6:15 in the p.m. 'Tis the law in the Traverse. So, Jack, thanks again. Managing partner of Saratoga Stables, Jack Nolan. Couldn't thank you enough.
Enjoyed it very much.
Appreciate it.
Good to see you, Brian.
It'll be the second break here on Saturdays at the Spa. Again, special thanks to Jack. And when we come back, we've got Richard Baltus. I talked to him yesterday. He's going to saddle Venetian Harbor against the mountain that is Gamine in the test. Stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Thank you. I think what you guys are doing is awesome.
You're doing a great job. Keep that game rolling.
Seth, you do a great job too. So thank you, and I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate watching your show every day.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Welcome back to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you. Travers Day here, August 8th on Saratoga. I keep saying it, and it's kind of funny to say out loud, but here we are. It's a glorious day. You can't come to the races, unfortunately, but you can come up to Saratoga. There's no doubt about that. There's going to be a lot of watch parties in and about town, and Jack Nolan was awesome. I thought that was great. I was excited to show all those races and kind of take it from day one with Tis the Law into what is today. 1 year later, and I got to be honest with you, I didn't even pick up on that, but as Jack alluded to, Tis the Law 1 year ago today burst onto the scene at Saratoga, breaking his maiden, and then here we are a year later, and he's 3-5 in Traverse. To me, he's 1-5, maybe, I don't know, but I thought that was cool just to see the progression, and a big special thanks to Jack to, you know, making the time. It's not easy to get here at 9 o'clock on Saturday, Traverse morning, and Jack has been throughout all of this, especially with Seth, but now today with me, so gracious with his time, and I think that's a real credit to him, because listen, the guys like that are getting pulled in a lot of different directions, and for him to make the time and to do two segments here, I sit up here with me for a half an hour on Travers morning. I can't say thanks enough, so appreciate that. And I got some great stuff from my next two guests as well. I was able to talk to Richard Baltus and Bob Baffert via the phone and via Zoom. So the test is right before the Travers. And my good buddy and partner Anthony Mormino and I talked about it on the Handicappers Report. The test is just could be a seismic showdown between Gamine and Venetian Harbor. And Anthony brought back memories of you and Carson Hollow, and they've got to run the race. There's no doubt about that. But these two fillies, Gamine and Venetian Harbor, are just so much better than the rest of these, and they are both speedy, fast horses, and they're drawn next to each other, going 7 furlongs in the test. And Gamine comes in off the 18-length win in the Acorn, and Venetian Harbor cuts back. So first, I was able to talk to Richard Baltus yesterday about Venetian Harbor, how she's coming into the test, tackling Gamine, cutting back, trying to get a grade one and all that kind of stuff. So here's Richard Baltus out in California. He won't be here today, but he's going to run Venetian Harbor against Gamine in the test. And we caught up with him yesterday. Joined now from California with Richard Baltus, who's going to saddle Venetian Harbor in the grade one test today. Richard, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. And I guess my first question, I know you're not here on the grounds, but all indications and reports, how did your filly ship in and how she acclimated to Saratoga?
She shipped well, yeah. And my assistant's there, and she said that she's eating good and scalped yesterday and stood in the gate Friday, and she'll jog tomorrow morning, so which would be Saturday, and everything's going well with her.
Great. You bring a very seasoned filly in, Richard. Santa Anita, obviously, and she's run at Oaklawn, and she's run at Keeneland, and you face Gamine, who's lightly raced. But talk a little bit about the disposition of your filly, and she's danced a lot of dances and has shown quite a bit of resiliency as you ship into Saratoga.
Yeah, pretty very honest filly. I ran her as, I think it was a two-year-old in Del Mar on the grass first time because she was training at San Luis Rey, and, they give her a race. And, she was pretty well thought of, and I actually had another filly in there that's pretty good that beat her that day. And then, we've been watching her, and I just thought that she looked like a dirt filly physically, with her hind end and her shoulder. She had pretty good hind end and pretty good shoulder, so... we tried her on the dirt next time at Santa Anita, and she just ran out of her mind. So then we were like, oh, wow, that's something.
Yeah.
That was kind of shocking, actually.
It was. Okay. So over a 10-length maiden win. And I guess as a, when you have these late season two-year-olds, you know, the allowance races don't typically fill. So it's kind of onward and upward to stakes company. And you ran in the Las Virgenes. We're going to bring up footage of her on the back stretch. She's on the lead. She sped off early. You asked her to do a lot. Winners, two turns, graded stakes foes. And, boy, she certainly answered the bell, Richard, in the Las Virgenes.
Yeah, it's a Las Virgenes. She's always been kind of forward. Like, she wants to take a hold of it, wants to go. She's just not like a whole lot of getting her to relax too much. So that was kind of the concern, going two turns for the first time. And then she made the lead down the backside pretty easily, and it was kind of like when she got to the quarter pole, I was like, oh, looks like they're catching her, and then she just rebroke. So that was super impressive, and then everybody started talking about her after that. So
yeah, and you went to the fantasy after that with Santa Anita was on hiatus. You went to the fantasy and you took on who we now know, Swiss Skydiver, one of the best three-year-old fillies in the country, sped off early again, went very fast, and got reeled in by a nice filly. But as we show the fantasy now, I would think, Richard, she stepped 14-horse field, traveling for the first time. I know you didn't get the money that day, but how did you exit the fantasy and your thoughts on the filly as she stepped up outside of California?
Yeah, when she came out of the fantasy, I brought her back to Santa Anita, and she just like was a little foot sore. Maybe I was just like didn't like the way she was training, so then I sent her back to San Luis Rey because she seemed to run better off the San Luis Rey training center surface. Now, that was like her first restart. So, we had to regroup from there. And, it's been a crazy year. You know that. Everybody knows that. After we lost the Las Virgenes, we thought in Kentucky Oaks and then, all the COVID and everything just changed. So, we're constantly been calling audibles with her, and I believe, that when she exited the Ashland, we brought her back again to San Luis Rey Downs, and she's been training pretty forwardly since then, and I'm pretty happy with her.
Yeah, we'll bring up footage of the Ashland again and on the lead once again and got run down by a very nice filly in Speech. So three straight two-turn races. Richard, as you cut back to one turn in the test, I would think you've got to be very happy with the foundation that she brings to Saratoga in what can be a very snappy seven furlongs, I would think, especially with Gamine to your inside.
Yeah, you would think cutting back would be the right thing for her. And she gets a good draw. So, pretty much Joelle can watch the race unfold. If we make the lead, we make the lead.
Yeah, is that something you talked Joelle Roeder last time in the Ashland. You're perfectly drawn in the test, an outside attack post. She has been on the lead in every dirt start. She did stalk a little bit. in the turf debut at Del Mar. I mean, have you worked her behind horses, or is she just naturally fast?
Oh yeah, no, we've worked her behind horses, and I don't know if that's like really helped her that much relaxed. I think it's more in the gallops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's more rateable in the gallops. She's not pulling so hard, but I mean, she's pretty easy to. I don't think she needs to be on the lead. I mean, she just, unless she breaks, she just wants to go, you know. So she has a good draw, and I think it's up to the jock. And Joel should know what to do with her, and I'm going to stay out of it pretty much.
Yeah, the outside post looks like it's perfect. Obviously, you've seen Gamin being a West Coast filly and with Bob, and I'm sure you saw the Acorn. You know, there are other horses in this race, but the race certainly goes through Gamin, but I would feel you're bringing, leading over a filly, very confident in her ability.
Yeah, I mean, at one point we thought we were the best filly in the country, and then these other two catch up to you, you know. So, you know, Gamin is, you know, she ran a freakish race last time. I mean, she won by 18 and a half lengths on a 110 top higher, broke the track record. Yeah. So, you know, I know they thought a lot of her from the start, and I watched her train here at Del Mar. I don't think he backed up on her a bit. He hasn't babied her. She's been working 112 and 112 a time.
Well, it looks like...
She's the horse to beat, by far.
Without a doubt. It looks like your filly, though, at least on paper, has been training very forwardly since the Ashland. You mentioned... the day and age we live in with COVID, and you know, did her training get interrupted, or is that just something you had to work through? And now that you've kind of got her, you look at your form, at least it's the first time in a while you've got back-to-back races without at least a DRF layoff line. I know they're not substantial layoffs, but back-to-back races now, I would think Venetian Harbor really ready to roll on Saturday.
Yeah, I think she's ready to roll. I mean, yeah, it's been a crazy year, you know, and I think we've adjusted her schedule, not only by the change of the dates of the stakes, but doing what's best for the horse. So
yeah. You know. Richard, before I let you go, is this a kind of a defining race for her in that? You'll know where to go from here. Obviously, she's run very, very well at two turns, but the cutback in seven furlongs, you know, from kind of looking at her in her races, and at least on paper, looks like it could be an ideal kind of trip for her.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, we're really trying to get the grade one race in her belt, and, you know, then go from there and let the horse pretty much tell us what to do.
Sure.
So
a lot of options
moving
forward.
It's about winning grade ones, and it's about listening to the horse and, you know, take it day by day, step by step, and hopefully we have a little luck on Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully that will be the case. They don't give grade ones away, but it certainly looks like she's in with a major, major chance in the test. Richard, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I'm sure it's a busy weekend out there at Del Mar as well. So best of luck here in the test, and we'll hear from you down the line.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Richard Baltus with Venetian Harbor in the test on Saturday, taking on Gamin, the mountain that is Gamin, who's certainly going to be odds on off that just absolutely demolition in the grade one Acorn over 18 lengths. And Bob Baffert, I was able to speak to him as well, so he's going to join us in a second. But certainly, you know, I don't need to tell you, don't sleep on Venetian Harbor at all, because she's 8-5 on the morning line, and rightfully so. And especially with this post, especially with the attack post, the cutback from two turns to one, she's going to have a major say in the test. So it's just another phenomenal race on Traverse Saturday here at Saratoga. It will bring us up to another break on Saturdays at the Spa. And as I mentioned, when we come back, Bob Baffert via Zoom. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
The New York hero, Tiz the Law and Manny Franco, to win the Belmont Stakes.
When New York bred Tiz the Law won the 2020 Belmont Stakes, OTB TV was live with owner Jack Nolan to capture all the excitement.
And certainly, seeing what he did today, we think a mile and a quarter is well within his range, and hopefully he can prove it at Saratoga Race Car.
For exclusive interviews and racing information, stay with Capital OTB and OTB TV and win more.
I got it. Watch me. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
Welcome back to Saturdays at the Spa here. Brian Natto with you. Travers, weekend here at Saratoga, and very happy to be joined by Bob Baffert via Zoom out in California. Another big grade one weekend, another big day set up for Bob. Bob, thanks so much for taking the time and joining us here.
Thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to a big day tomorrow.
Yeah, you came in last week with Improbable and got the money, and today we've got Uncle Chuck certainly in the Travers, Gamine a little earlier in the test, which we'll get to. But first and foremost, Bob, I know you're not here, but by all reports, how did the horses ship in, and how are they acclimating here in Saratoga?
Yeah, they shipped very well, and everything's gone pretty smoothly there. So everything, all systems go. Just I heard we might get a little weather. I'm not sure. So
yeah, we got a little rain overnight on Thursday. We're knock on wood, we should be okay for Saturday. Bob, I know it's the first time Uncle Chuck has shipped at least this kind of ship. Is there any worries or concerns? Does it take a certain kind of horse, or in this day and age where, you know, you've done it countless times and everybody does it, is it just kind of par for the course?
Well, you know, some horses, you know, they might have trouble settling in, or they won't eat as well. Very rare. I'll get a horse like that. So it's good to find out, you know, not only we're going to find out how Uncle Chuck, you know, ships and runs. Can he ship off the plane like he's doing this time? So if he got there and he would have gotten a little bit antsy or didn't eat well or wasn't, you know, knocked out or whatever, then we might go into a little bit earlier into a race like the Kentucky Derby. So, but he still has to prove his way into the Kentucky Derby, and he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to put up a big run for us to think Kentucky Derby.
Sure. Bob, you've lost, you know, you had Charlatan earlier in the year and Nadal certainly as well. But, you know, Uncle Chuck is the vintage second kind of half of the year three-year-old. He didn't run at two. He's certainly a late bloomer that took a little longer to get to the races. I guess my question would be, you know, when did he kind of tip his hand that he might be sitting here, you know, at 5-2 in the Travers?
Well, I really, before his first out, we knew he was something special, and that's why I ran him a mile first time out. I didn't want to sprint him, and so I knew if I could get a mile race into him, that would do a lot of catching up. Usually I like to sprint him a couple times or stretch him out, whatever. Like Justify, we had a tight schedule. He ran 7/8, then he went a mile, and then he won the Santa Anita Derby. So this is sort of the same thing. You know, I went a mile with him. There wasn't another race. I had to run him in the Los Alamitos Derby. And it's just hard to, you know, as you can see, it's hard to get these races to fill. Sure. There's a lot of shortage of really good horses. And so, you know, unless you have a grass horse, there's grass races galore, you know. But for dirt horses, it's tough to get these races to fill. So I was sort of forced to run them in the Los Alamitos Derby. But I felt confident that, you know, we wanted to find out, you know, what we had there. And he was running against a horse like Thousand Word.
Yeah, you mentioned the debut, easily won at even money. And then, you know, I've kind of got written down here, and you alluded to it. You've really put a lot in front of this horse and asked him a lot to do. I mean, Los Alamitos Derby against, you mentioned, Thousand Words, a mile and an eighth, second kind of start. We'll bring up footage around the far turn and talk a little bit about, he settled nicely that day. And really, I thought in mid-stretch to deep stretch, Bobby, really kind of maybe asserted himself, that long stride. Is he a horse that kind of maybe takes a little bit to get going? Because he really extended himself nearing the line that day.
Well, actually, I had Luis Saiz on him, and I told him, you know, I want you to get to know the horse. We didn't want to put him on the lead that day. We wanted him, there was a speed horse in there, so we wanted him to just, you know, see if he would just stay off the pace a little bit, lay off the pace. And then when he asked him to run, it looked like Thousand Words was going to come and get him. So really, Thousand Words was running really well. And then he sort of, when he's first flattened out, he sort of caught another gear and took off again. And he's still a little green. He said he went to switch his whip, and he saw the whip, and he switched to his left lead. He'll do that. He's still a little green, but I think since that race, I've seen him mature quite a bit. You know, he's probably, I'd like to have, you know, I think this race would set him up. You know, I hate to run him a mile and a quarter and then come back in the Derby 3 weeks later. But it's going to be it'll be exciting.
Was it important to get Luis Saiz out there, Bob? I know, obviously, he's a regular rider of Maximum Security. Wasn't able to get out there for that one. But the fact that he got out there, rode Uncle Chuck, got to know him. You said you kind of gave him some experience that day. Was that important going forward?
Oh, I think so, because this horse is I just wanted him to get a feel for him, and he's a horse that, for a big horse, he's very quick, he's very light on his feet, and so he got to know him, and so we'll just figure out some little game plan and see, you know, how to ride him. But at least he knows that, he knows, I feel comfortable that he can get the mile and a quarter, mm-hmm. But how fast can he get? You know, now he's ran against some horse like Tis the Law, who, you know, he's the best three-year-old in the country right now. And so I'll see how he matches up with him.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of people have mentioned Arrogate, Bob, and I guess it's somewhat comparable, only if that you brought two lightly raced horses to the Travers, but, you know, we're talking about a horse that might be in the Hall of Fame one day that cracked 2 minutes, which is, you know, out of this world in the Travers. But, you know, again, I watched this, the Los Alamitos Derby, and it kind of reminded me almost of the Breeders' Cup Classic, almost of the Pegasus, where Arrogate, kind of that big train that once he really gets going, was covering a lot of ground. Are there any similarities as lightly raced and vastly quickly improving three-year-olds that you're bringing to Saratoga?
Well, I think he's a horse that I threw Arrogate, the name, out there because he's a tall, lanky, he's sort of built like Arrogate, sort of the same frame, big, long stride, quick on his feet. When you Arrogate, he was a little bit further along, and I knew going to Saratoga, I knew he'd run well. He wasn't that quick away from the gate like Uncle Chuck. He's quicker from the gate. But he has that long stride, and so I still can't put him in the same,
of course,
sentence with Arrogate. We're always hoping, you know, we throw something out. You know, everybody trying to, who do you compare him with? Well, maybe body type, Arrogate, big long stride. You know, Midnight Lou was that way, big long striding horse like that. But I think the mile and a quarter, that really separates them.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, when Arrogate came over, he had four starts. Uncle Chuck with just two, but he's got a lot of furlongs under his belt. If you look at this race, Bob, you talked about Tis the Law, clearly the horse to beat, the Belmont winner. And you know, you ship a lightly raced horse that's trying to get a mile and a quarter. And you mentioned they all get it. It's just a matter of how fast they get it. But do you have a kind of a trip in mind as you look at this race? And, you know, you're down inside a little bit. You can save ground into the first turn. You're very tactical. As you look at this Travers on paper, Bob, do you have an idea of how it shapes out? Do you even talk to Luis Saez beforehand? I know you won't be here, but do you talk to him about this?
Yeah, I will talk to him before the race, and sort of not really a whole lot to plan out. You know, the thing is, he has to break well and just get him in a nice rhythm. You know, like all these, and especially if you're going that far, just get him away from there, get him where he's comfortable, and I think just play the break.
Bob, we're going to talk about Gamine in a second, but you know, $250,000 for Uncle Chuck as a son of Uncle Mo, and you know, all things being equal, he wasn't that expensive for, you know, a lot of the horses that you've had in the barn and that some of your clients have purchased. You know, did he stand out at that point, or was he someone you really had an eye on? Because like I said, you know, several other horses have brought more, and at this point in time, certainly seems like a bargain for a very hot sire and Uncle Mo.
Well, he looks like a bargain now, but I think $250,000 is a lot of money, you know. I thought he was pretty expensive, but, you know, he's by Uncle Mo, and I think Uncle Mo and, you know, these horses, they get hot. Every year when you go there, you know, one year they jump on Quality Road, they jump on American. There's always a hot sire every year. And Uncle Mo, it's still hot, but it wasn't as hot, and there was a lot of them. And so, I saw him in the back, and he looked like a horse that was, you know, he wasn't your atypical Uncle Mo, just a big, long, gangly looking horse. And I thought, with his pedigree, if I take my time with him, I'm not going to try to run him as a two-year-old. Maybe he could be a good horse down the road. And so he didn't look like a sprinter. He looks like, and he should be a sprinter the way he's built, because his mother was a really good sprinter. But, you know, I bought it from the Stone Street Farm, Barbara Vanke. She has like the best mares in the country. She buys all those fast mares, speedy mares. And so they're a good horse. I mean, she bred Charlatan. She's Gamine. She has a mother of Gamine. I mean, she's right there. You know, when you see Stone Street, I mean, they raise really good horses.
Sure. You mentioned the Derby, Bob, and you know, it's quick, and you've got a young lightly raced horse. And is this the type of race, the Travers, where Uncle Chuck has got to bring you to the Derby, Bob? I mean, you're not going to obviously rush him, or he's not going to. You're not going to do anything that's not right by the horse. Does he have to show you and bring you to the Derby?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll all know when we watch the race, you know, if see how he handles it. And, you know, if not, then we can wait. We can run in the Preakness, you know, a race like that.
So, right.
We'll just let him tell us.
Sure. Before we let you go quickly, you've also got Gamine in the test, a freakishly fast filly. And you know, I mentioned Uncle Chuck at 250 paid a lot of money for Gamine, and Bob, I would assume she was 1-9 in her debut in a short field. I would think she tipped her hand pretty early that she could be something special to you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she's always, from day one, she was special. Well, her price was pretty obvious, $1.9 million for her. But I think she's really, I think she's improved. I think she's maturing. She was a little late coming around, but I wouldn't have been able to make the Kentucky Oaks. I would have liked to have stretched her out. You know, this week would have been a good week to stretch her out, but there wasn't anything really. So I figured the test, 7/8, one turn, you know, she's run well going one turn. And it's a tough race. I mean, there's a lot of speed in there. So, you know, I don't think she's going to be winning by, if she were to win, you know, 18 lengths.
Right.
That was quite a performance. I didn't think she was going to do that.
We're going to bring that up. We'll bring up footage of the Acorn, and as you alluded to, this was just a freakish performance when she won at two turns at Oaklawn, and you cut her back to a one-turn mile at Belmont, Grade One Stakes Company, first time ever in a graded stakes race. You know, she was odds on, but as you kind of hinted at, Bob, I did this take you by surprise? I mean, this was out of this world to see her run like this, 110 buyer, if that's your cup of tea, a freakish performance here.
It was freakish. I mean, it was like, you know, and the thing is she was, Johnny V was riding for the first time, and he's, you know, I said, you know, hopefully you go slow, don't go too fast early, and he had his hands full all the way around there. He said, finally, I said, Bob, I just had to let her go because she was fighting me, you know. And I don't think he knew he was that far in front, but it was quite impressive.
Bob, as a trainer, you know, you hear the bounce word and things like that. Are you cognizant of that off such a great race? Is that a thing that's in your mind? I've talked to trainers, and they say they don't believe in it. I talk to trainers, say they worry about it off such a huge run. Is that in the back of your mind, or is she just such a special filly that you're obviously confident sending her out there, though?
Well, I feel like I gave her enough time to get over that, and she's really relaxed, and I think she'll be all right.
You mentioned it's the test. You've been in it before, and it's a race with a lot of speed. You've got speed on both sides. John Velasquez rode her last time. Obviously, Hall of Fame jockey, knows what he's doing. But is this a play it off the break kind of thing, or has Gamine? You see all ones in her past performances. You know, this is, you mentioned the Kentucky Oaks. How does this play out on Saturday as far as trip?
Well, she's drawn right next to the really fast other California.
Yeah, Venetian Harbor.
Venetian Harbor, and she is really fast. They're both extremely fast horses. So it could be quite a ding-dong battle if they hook up early. And, you know, it might be disastrous. It might be okay. I don't know. You know, that's Johnny's going to have to work something out there. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about it. But I think that the you know, I think the way they break and run, if they're showing, you know, she's Gamine, is, we know that she's just a tremendous racehorse, and you know, I'm using this to get her ready for the Kentucky Oaks. So
right,
sort of a different approach.
And very seasoned for just three starts. Obviously, you sent her to Oaklawn, to Belmont, and here at Saratoga. So have racetrack will travel, huh?
Well, I mean, she's handled everything well. You know, she went to Oaklawn, two turns. But I really like the way I sort of like, she's starting to fill out now. She was sort of a tall filly, and she's starting to, I think she's starting to mature now and fill out her body. I think she's, you know, I think she looks better now than she did when she went to the Acorn. Will she run as well? I
hope, but, well, that's, you know, scary.
you never know, but she's doing really well. And all the reports I get from my assistant, Jimmy Barnes, says that she's handling it well. And the Gallup boy that gets on her there, he knows her really well. And he thinks she feels great. So he says they're both doing great. So I'm getting good reports. So that's all I can.
That's all you can ask for. Sure. Bob, quickly before I let you go, you came in last weekend with Improbable to win the Whitney. I read where, I know you mentioned you'd like to obviously keep him and Maximum Security apart. How did he come out, and have you set any plans for him going forward as you kind of work backwards to the Breeders' Cup Classic?
Yeah, Improbable, he got back to California. He came out of it really well. Fantastic race. Even though he did act up in the gate, and that the system started, it had him in there. I mean, that could have been disastrous. I mean,
yeah.
It was probably an inch away from just being scratched and turning over in the gate. And so, but we got lucky there, and but he came out of it really well. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do with him next. I usually, Elliot Walden from Windstar, he we'll figure out a game plan. He does all the scouting for me. He knows where everybody's going. So he'll sit down and he'll say, what do you think? How's the horse training? So, you know, when I tell him he's ready to roll again, then Elliot, he'll find a spot.
Sounds good. Well, Bob, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of what I'm sure is a busy day out there in California. Best of luck in the Travers with Uncle Chuck. Best of luck in the test with Gamine and everyone going forward. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bob Baffert from California, thank you again. That brings us to another break here on Saturdays at the Spa. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Stay tuned. Welcome back live now, Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you to wrap it all up on Travers Day. Special thanks to Richard Baltus out in California. And boy, I thought Bob Baffert was awesome to give us that much time on a Friday morning out at Del Mar at his office and to pop in on the Zoom video. I thought he was very candid with his assessments of both Uncle Chuck and the task at hand, and it's a big one. We had Jack Knowlton up here talking Tiz-the-Law, and there's, like I said, there's just no doubt about it that Tiz-the-Law is, you know, 2-3-5 in this race, and the Bob Baffert ships in Uncle Chuck from California to try a mile and a quarter in his third career start. And I, like I said, I thought Bob was very candid in his assessment of what he's got and what he's tackling here today, shipping across the country. So a big special thanks to him as well. And, you know, I don't have a tight personal relationship with Bob Baffert, but I texted him. I said, hey, Bob, you want to do the show? And 10 seconds later, he answered, absolutely, sure, what time? So, you know, when that happens, you just, I can't thank him enough for taking that kind of time and making the effort to do this. So really appreciated for this. And as I mentioned earlier, as we all started with Jack Knowlton at 9 o'clock to give me a half an hour on Travers Day. He's, you know, managing partner, owner of Sacatoga Stable and Tiz-the-Law. So a special thanks to him as well. And we wish him and all the connections of Tiz-the-Law all the best. No shame in saying I'm a big fan and rooting for him today. And Jack and the group, along with my buddy and our colleague and Seth Merrill, will be over at the Embassy Suites today with Stuart DeVoe and the guys over there. A little watch party before the Travers. So stop over. Seth's going to be there right around noon, I think, to kind of hang out and do that thing. They've got a great setup over there. I was there last week with a bunch of my guys. In a private room upstairs, and Stuart and the staff do a great job over there. So go check that out as well in the bar downstairs. It'd be a really fun day. And, you know, like I mentioned, and Anthony, I mentioned back at the Handicappers Report over 2 hours ago now that, you know, you can't come to the track. It stinks. It is what it is in this world that's a lot bigger than just Saratoga and Travers Day. But you can get up here. You can watch. There's plenty of places to watch races outdoors. It's a phenomenal day. As I look out of this tent here, it's a great day. So I'm going to get it started in a few minutes. But again, thanks for everybody that was involved today. Brian and Mick back in control room and all the guys back around in Albany as well. We can't do it without any of those guys for putting all this stuff together and videos and early morning texts and all that stuff. So I really appreciate what those guys do as well. And for you watching today too as well, getting up early with us, Anthony and I at 8 and this now at 9. So I'm going to stop talking and get out of here. Best of luck today. Travers Day at Saratoga, August 8th. It still sounds a little weird, but make the best of it. Good luck. Amp up those Capital OTB accounts, and I will see you next Thursday. Best of luck, folks.
You've been watching Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Natow. Saturdays at the Spa has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, New York's premier wagering site. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The new Capital mobile app. Wager anywhere, anytime. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.